Hi folks, Joe Stegner from Microsoft here with another Tailspin Spyworks video. And in this video, we're going to create a custom ASP.NET user control, and it will contain a list of popular items. And then we're going to include that control on our homepage to show users items that lots of other customers purchase. So to get started, let's go into our Solution Explorer, and let's create a directory to house our controls. So this isn't necessary, of course, but it's good to keep our solution organized so that as it grows, it's easier to navigate. So I'm going to create a folder named Controls, and now I'm going to right-click and say Add a New Item, and I'm going to select Web User Control. I'm going to change the name from Web User Control to be Popular Item. And then go ahead and click Add. And here you can see that we're ready to start building the control. So another thing that I'll just point out to you is that I've added some CSS here. All right, so I've just added a few elements of CSS. The most popular header, most popular link items, most popular text hover, etc. Right, so this CSS file has been flushed out with some basic look and feel that we want to be able to take advantage of inside our control. So, next, I'll create a div for the header of our most popular items control, and we'll set a class equal to most popular header. Right, so the class name is most popular head. And then I can simply say our most popular items. Next, let's create another div. Right, so you note here that in our custom control, we're just adding some standard markup. I'm going to call this one panel popular items, and I'm going to specify run at equals server, and I'm just going to set up a little style. Here, it's all it's going to do is add a little padding. So we'll say padding is going to be 10 pixels. All right, so they'll just give us some aesthetic space around the items that will be displayed. And then inside this div, we're going to use a repeater ASP.NET control. So let's go down into the data collection in the Visual Studio toolbox, grab an instance of the repeater control, and drop it on the page. I'm going to change the name from repeater 1 to be repeater items list. For the purposes of this demo, we'll just leave an empty header template, but you could add any header information that you wanted there. Then we're going to add an item template. You could also do a footer template inside our item template. We're going to add some text and a product link. Right, so this is just going to be each of the elements that we're going to display as the most popular items. So let's add a link. I'm going to say href. Actually, before we do href, let's specify a class. Right, so we get the behavior that we want to pick up from the CSS that I just showed you. So we'll say most popular item text. And I'm going to switch this to single quotes, and you'll see why in a moment. All right, so let's then say href, and the href is going to be a link to the product details page. So let's select the product details page. However, we're going to have to add the parameter that the product ID page expects. So we'll say product ID equal, and now we're going to say, let's output eval quote product ID. Now, I know we haven't created any data bindings yet or any data access at all, but we'll do that momentarily. We'll say product ID. All right, so that will be the link. And then next, we're going to need to specify the actual text that we want to be output. So here we'll say again, let's eval the model name . Now we just need to close our anchor tag. Oops. And I'm going to add a break so that each of the items appears on a separate line, and this is going to be our markup. One more thing that we want to do here, though, this isn't likely to change extremely often. So rather than hit the server and create this content, because we've yet to add some code behind, but we're going to have to figure out which are the more popular items in our code, we don't want to have to create this content for every page request for the home page or every page that the control is used on. So let's also take advantage of ASP.NET caching and say at output cache duration, and here we could specify whatever is appropriate for our environment. Let's here say 3600. And in this case, we're going to say vary by param equals none, but you can vary the cache. So make sure that as you're learning this stuff, you explore the vary by options that are available with output caching. Okay, now we're going to have to go in and figure out which items we need to retrieve from the database to display in this control. So we'll do that now. So here we are in the code behind for our new popular item user control, popularitem.ascx.cs. And the first thing we're going to do is, since we're going to be dynamically creating a data source using our entity data model, we're going to need the Tailspin Spyworks data access namespace. So now we can go down here, and in our load event, first thing we'll say is using commerce entities, db equal new commerce entities, now we can try and create a result set from a query that we can bind to that repeater control that we used in the markup definition for our control. So here let's say, well, let's add a try catch block first. So here let's say try var query equal from product orders in DB order details, join selected products in DB products on product order ID product orders product ID equals selected products product ID, and then let's group this. Let's group these product orders by new product ID equal selected products product ID and model name, right? These are the two things that we're going to need to populate the repeater properties that we specified in our markup. So model name equals selected products dot model name. And let's select those into a group, into GRP, is the name that we'll use. Then now let's say select new. And now let's say model name equal group key model name. Oops. And product ID group key product ID and quantity, since we'll need the quantity to know which are the most popular. So we'll say quantity equal, and here we're going to sum the quantity of the orders that result set into order group, where order group quantity is greater than 0, order by quantity set this in descending order, and we're getting close to the end here. Select and let's take the top five results. So what we're doing here is we're selecting from the orders table, getting all of the products that were ordered and how many of them were ordered, so the quantities, and then we're summing those up so we know total from the database how many of each item were ordered, and then we're ordering those in descending order so that we can select the top five most purchased products. Now once we've done that, all we need to do is down here after we've created that query, we can now use the result set that is in this query, which are the top five products, as the data source for our repeater. So we can say repeater items list data source equal query. Then all we have to do is bind it. So we can say again, repeater items list dot data bind. And then of course here in the catch clause we need to do something just in case there's an error. So let's just throw an exception if we're not able. So there shouldn't ever be a reason that we shouldn't be able to query our products table. So let's say throw new exception. And here we'll specify some error message, unable to load popular items. And let's add some information from the exception. So let's catch the exception that was thrown. And then we can access its properties. So see. Let's add the message that was received in that exception. And of course, we're going to have to cast it to a string or convert it to a string. And let's forward the exception as well. Okay. So, what we've done is create markup for our control and specify a repeater, an ASP.NET repeater that we're going to populate. Then we're creating a data source in the form of a query result set from our entity data model. Basically, a fairly complex query by which we select all of the product orders and sum the number of items purchased for each product, and then order them in descending order and grab the top five to put into the output for our control. And we do that simply by then binding our repeater items list to the query result set that we just created, and done a little bit of error handling as well. So now we have a control, all we need to do is use that control. So to use our new ASP.NET user control, select the default.aspx page and switch into design mode. Scroll down and find the area in the content that we reserved for the popular item control. Next, go into the Controls folder in the Solutions Explorer, grab an instance of the popular item user control that we just created, and drag it over and drop it inside that TD for popular item. Now that we've placed an instance of the control there, we can get rid of the text. Now, let's go ahead and build our project, and you'll see that we got no errors. We got some warnings, and we put those in on purpose because we've created catch blocks where the exceptions aren't handled yet. And we intentionally deferred that, and we have to-do items that cover all of those places where we didn't handle the exceptions. But you'll notice that build succeeded. Now, I'm doing this to point out a sort of a trick in working with markup. We got a clean build, but if we run this, we're going to see that the project's going to fail. And it's going to fail by telling us that there is a problem with a new line in a constant. Right? So new line in constant. And here you can see this is the part of the statement that's causing the problem. If we switch into source view for our user control and we look really closely, we can see, now notice in this case right now we don't have any indication that there's a syntax error here, but there in fact is. Oh, now one just appeared. Right? So sometimes it takes a little while for the markup to be parsed in Visual Studio to be able to tell us that there's a problem. And again, new line in constant. What new line in constant means is that someplace where we used quotes, there's some stuff that is contained inside the start quote and the end quote that's not supposed to be there. And in our case, this is true. So you can see here, we have this begin quote, but no end quote. So the parser just keeps going looking for an end quote, finds this one, right? So it finds this one here, thinks this whole thing is one literal, and then sees another quote, and gets to the end of the line before it finds a closing quote. So thus the message, new line in constant. Right? So what we really need to do here is just fix this by adding that pesky missing quote. Now if we go ahead and run the solution, it'll get rebuilt, of course, because we made a change. And here, now if we scroll down, you can see we have our header, our most popular items, and the five most popular items in our database. If we click on one of the links, we get taken to the product details page with the displaying the product details for the selected popular item. So just to recap, in this video, we created a custom user control, built a fairly complex link query against our entity data model, and then used the results of that link query as the bindable data source to our repeater control, and we also looked at a little hint in terms of debugging some of the runtime errors that we might get from minor mistakes that we make in our markup.